Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Adventure of the Stars podcast. How are my loyal listeners? Thank you for continued support. And remember, click that subscribe button, everybody. This is it, the one-year anniversary of the Traversing the Stars podcast with your special guest, me. We discuss all things podcasting, all the ups and downs, and everything in between. We're joined by special guest host, Cody, of Keeping It Geekly. Now join us once more as we go traversing the stars.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. It is Cody from Keeping It Geekly, and we are here on Transversing the Stars. We're here interviewing the one and the only Jeff Haas, celebrating a one-year anniversary. Welcome to your own show, Jeff. How are you doing? And congratulations for hitting that one-year mark, my man.
Oh, thank you very much. This is the weirdest feeling, being on the other side of things. It's like I'm through the looking glass.
Well, hopefully I am filling the shoes nice and firmly and not doing too bad of a job. Jeff, I think right now we should do yourself a little bit of a justice and give us a breakdown of who you are. You know, now that you're on the other side of things, you know, who is the man of the hour? Give us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, it all started on a cold day in January. No, just kidding. I'm Jeff Haas. I've been doing this in Traversing the Stars, like I said, for 1 year. Prior to this, I was on a different podcast called Spoiler Country at the time. And I decided to spread my wings and do my own thing for a while. It's been that way for about a year. I'm also a part-time publicist for indie comic books. So if you're an indie person, hit me up. I only do about two or three guest clients a month, though, for reasons. And I'm a comic book writer, and I have one coming out in a few months as well in February. So that's like a very short view of who I am, but I don't know, this seems like a bit.
I mean, wow, you wear a lot of hats, and I'm surprised you even have time to do a podcast.
it is a very tight day that I have. I start my day as a teacher. I come home around 4, lay down for a little while, do one interview, then I edit. Then I prep for the next interview. Then I do my promoting. Then I do my reading as I prep for the next interview. That's what my day looks like. I got to get it all done before my wife gets home at 10:30 so she doesn't get angry. So that's my day.
you're off to a better start than me because my significant other is mad at me all day long. So what was Spoiler Country about? Was that like watching like TV shows and movies and giving spoiler takes on it? Like give us a little bit about that.
Oh, okay. Well, Spoiler Country had existed a couple of years before I got there, and then when I jumped in as their public relations guy in, I think it was maybe 3 years ago, maybe now. I started getting them guests like I do for Traversing the Stars, and it kind of snowballs getting guests. You know, that's a lark for once in a while, and then after a little while, guests started becoming almost every single day for the 3 or 4 interviews that were there. Some guests were really cool. You know, we had a few big ones that have also been on Traversing the Stars, some that haven't. And over time, we were doing interviews almost 4 days a week. And then later on, things changed. I decided I'd rather do my own thing. And I took those same abilities of getting those guests and decided I'll get guests for myself. That makes life easier. No one bitches when it's my own guest.
what came first, the podcast or being the publicist?
The podcast when after being around the Spoiler Country for a little while, people were like, hey, you're good at getting people. I was like, yes, I am. He goes, well, have you tried getting our people on other shows? I was like, well, I mean, it seems like the same thing to me on for the most part. So then I another host from Spoiler Country asked me to help her out with promotion, and I decided sure, and it went well. And then some people contacted me and said, hey, you did good on that, we'll do this. And over time it kind of snowballed and people started talking about me, which was cool. And now I was like, every month I usually get 7 or 8 requests for my show. I mean, not my show, for my publicist gig. Mm-hmm. And I only, I only take 2 or 3 clients a month for reasons of my own sanity and lack of ability to organize better than that. And I usually, you know, I'll take 2 or 3 ones I like and be like, all right, I'll take you. I'll, you know, take that guest for 1 or 2 months and then I move on to the next one, so forth and so on.
No, I got you. I was always curious because I mean, just being a publicist seems like it's a lot, but even the podcast, I mean, you're Transversing the Stars. The name is in the titles. So how did you start landing all these? You have so many big names on this show that I've seen and just kind of like browse through. And I'm like, man, Jeff is just killing it. Like, give us some of those, that skill set you acquired.
Well, before I was in podcasting, I was a, I did comic book writing, indie comic book writing. And I was, and to try to promote myself, I did a few websites. One was called Project Fanboy at the time. Another one was called The Outhouse. Mm-hmm. And when I was, and I would write articles about comic books, indie comic book articles, ones about the industry. I, you know, I did my own research, and every so often I would get expert opinions from people in the comic book. And so I'd reach out, you know, I think I did one on the world of indie comic books, and I reached out to Mark Wade. And Mark, I can't remember what he was working, but it was talking about like cross trans, things of that nature. And I would reach out to these guys, like, hey, you want to comment? And they would. And I was like, hey, I'm pretty good at this. And I started talking to this guy at a convention called Gary Port, who was creating a comic book convention in New York. And he's like, would you like to get guests for us? I said, sure. So I got guests for his convention. And then I was like, okay, I'm really good at this. And then I said, Spoiler Country, I started getting guests. We started small with some smaller guests. But within the first month, I had already scheduled Eric Larson to the show. And it just kind of built from there. I was like, okay, if I can get Eric Larson, then I can get anybody I want. And, you know, over time, I just kind of like test the waters. And you'd be surprised just how many people say yes for no good reason. Because like I said, we weren't that big at the time. And over time, you know, you go in with some confidence. You go in with good intent. And you go in with a little bit of reputation over time. And you'd be surprised who comes on your show and they're willing to talk to you. And there's been a lot of people who have been like, really? On my show? All right. I mean, I don't understand why you do it, but hey, I'm taking it. Come on my show.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you build that confidence? Because, like, it has to be nerve-wracking in the beginning, you know?
Part of it is I don't have any shame. a severe lack of shame. And, you know, and over time, it's just, I decided the worst they can, it's sort of like being in the comic book industry when you submit mm-hmm. your comic book to companies, the worst they can do is say no. You know, they're not going to come to your house and beat the shit out of you. And they're not going to like call and like and start making fun of you. The worst they're going to do is say, not interested. And I decided I didn't care if they were interested or not. I would take the hit and just keep asking. So like I said, so I kept asking. And what I realized is I created an approach, what I call like a ladder approach. Mm-hmm. And what I'll do is I'll look at publicists and I'll be like, who do they have in their roster? And I look at the roster and I'll go, okay, well, here's someone on the lower end of the roster. I'll talk to that guy who's kind of interesting. They'll know who I am. They'll meet me. They'll trust me because I'll do a good job. Hopefully, maybe at least in my opinion, I do a good job. And then I'll be like, okay, then I'll be able to come back to them in a few months and be like, hey, I want that guy too. And eventually build up. Go mm-hmm. up their ladder of their public and their guests until I get the ones I really, really want. And you know, and that's kind of like how it works. You know, you start small, you try to build up the rapport and the trust, and over time they'll let you have the bigger ones. And hopefully, you know, I'm slowly working my way up those ladders.
You know, we were talking backstage about it. That I have such a hard time saying no for that same reason, right? Like, because it's like, well, if I don't put this work in, and I can't get that bigger fish as fast as I want. Like,
right. No, 100%. And thing is, though, you'd be surprised about how many guests I have had. There's been some guests that publicists will come to me with and be like, hey, mm-hmm. can you talk to this guy? And there's been a few who, honestly, I was like, in my head, like, no, I don't want that guest. And I decided, you know what, screw it. Just take the guest, say yes. And some of those interviews have been the biggest interviews I've ever had in my show. Yeah. You never know which ones are going to pop. Like, I try to predict the view count of all my guests. I'd be like, okay, this will get me this many guests. And the amount of times I've been wrong on both ends has been amazing. Like, one guest, I was like, I had a co-host, this was once upon a time. I was personally like, do you want this guest? I was like, no. And I'd asked my co-host at the time, I was like, do you want the guest? They're like, no. I was like, okay, well, one of us has to take her. So how about you take it? And and the guy was like, sure. Turned out to be one of the biggest guests we've ever had. And it's like, don't say no. You don't know. You mm-hmm. you just don't know how good that show could turn out. You know, look, don't kill yourself. Don't work, you know, from, you know, 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. And 12 a.m. again. You know, don't work crazy, but sometimes it helps just to say yes to things.
So give us a little bit about some of the highs and some of the lows with podcasting. Like, you know, what's been some of your more memorable moments?
I mean, I must say the ability to dive into some, I've gotten to the point on my show quite often that I can watch a TV show or a movie, and as I'm watching it, I can text out to the publicist and be like, I want to talk to this person. and be talking to the person as I'm watching the show, deciding when we're gonna schedule our interview. And that's a pretty good feeling. I a few times, you know, I watch like a documentary and I'd be like, you know, I'm like, I want to talk to that guy. So I'm like messaging him, like, hey, you want to do this? And we're, as I'm scheduled, you know, watching the show, I'm scheduling the show. And that's a pretty cool thing. It's like interactive TV, you know? And I've had some really cool guests. Like Thomas Jane was on the show, and that was, you know, blew my mind that he came on the show. Will Wheaton was on the show. That was like, holy crap. Peter Macon from the Orville was on my show. David Hewlett, I've had multiple times on the show now. William Sadler, I've had multiple times now. I think he was on twice already. And, you know, those are some, and when those interviews happen, you know, it feels good. It feels damn good to be like, they came on my show. I talked to that guy, and, you know, I still get nervous. I still get the butterflies, and my stutter will pop out a bit, and my stammering, I'll try to edit some of it out, and it works. I mean, but like I said, there's little points too. There's for a little while, my show was doubling in view count every single month. It was like, boom. I mean, I was like, Jesus Christ. It was just like, bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. And then summer hit and it started going a little bit in reverse. Like, boom, you know, on the other end. And It took a hit. I mean, my ego took a hit, my confidence took a hit, and it's beginning to move the other direction again. But you know, there's those times where I think every podcaster might have it, where you're just like, why am I doing this? You know, people maybe they don't like me. Maybe I'm not doing any. You know, maybe I'm not doing a good job. Maybe
they're all lying to me.
Right. Maybe I'll never get another good guest because the numbers are going down. And then, yeah. But those who survive decide, screw the numbers, just keep on trucking. And then they move the opposite direction over time. It goes back up the hill, which is what I'm looking at right now. And I'm thinking, you know what? Ignore the bad months. Things are getting better. And that's kind of I try to keep in mind. It's like, you know, even if you do get the numbers or, you know, are not great on any given month or week, because I'm obsessive checking my view count on a YouTube buddy, like always on there. And I'm like, you know, if it's not good, just remember you get the guests that you like. You're enjoying talking to these people. Just keep it going.
You know, TubeBuddy, I was using that too. And that just seems like one of those things where, I don't know, I had like the $20, $25 a month. And I'm like, at the point, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead, take this, and I'm going to put it into StreamYard so I can at least upgrade the package. I have my own like little icon in the corner. I didn't see a whole lot of success with TubeBuddy. Maybe I wasn't utilizing it properly, but what are some of the different tools that you use for podcasting outside of like TubeBuddy? Like what should anyone who's aspiring to be in the industry like be looking at to utilize?
I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I use a lot of YouTube because that's at the moment the fastest route to get money will be YouTube if you get to 1,000 subscribers and a certain amount of watch hours. So I do use TubeBuddy. I use Y2 Studio. There's some other ones like Good Pods is one you can use if you're not on YouTube at all and can try to push it that way. My primary method is social media. I'm on every platform I can think of for the most part. I don't do as much with TikTok because something about seeing myself on TV still bothers me. But
I think you can bust out a couple dance moves here and there.
my wife would probably say differently. but you know, I go on Instagram, YouTube. I promote on Reddit, promote on Facebook. I've recently got multiple bans on Facebook now for spamming my shows on their in groups. Mm-hmm. So that's becoming less and less feasible. But I'm still creating other accounts now to do the spamming for me. You know, you find ways around.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the way to do it. And I would say the key is always be promoting, you know, constantly promote. You are your own product. So, and, you know, screw everybody else. You know, when I'm on Facebook, I have something like, I'm in like 600 to 700 groups on Facebook. And most of that is just me posting my podcast to episodes to different groups, you know, like Star Trek. I do a lot with Star Trek. So I'm in like 30, 40 Star Trek groups. And I like every time I get a new episode, post, which is why I'm getting restricted now from Facebook, probably. took them a few years, but they finally got to it. But, you know, that's when you create fake accounts and then you get them to do it. You know, screw Facebook, worst customer service ever. But, you know, that's kind of way to do it. Just get as part of many groups and social media things as possible. Tumblr isn't as good. And then just constantly promote yourself, constantly be out there. There shouldn't be any episode that you haven't posted to every outlet you can think of that connect to it. And hopefully that turns into views.
Mm-hmm.
And the more views you get, it's like an avalanche. One view gets two views and eventually gets more. And the more views you get, the better the guests, the better the views, and back and forth. And you know, that's how you grow, which is the only thing I can recommend. And remember, the thing is, someone gave me this advice and I didn't listen and I learned it and I'm going to repeat it to somebody else. Don't get too happy. Don't get too high on the highs. Don't get too low on the lows. There will be highs. Don't get too excited by them. They're temporary. Usually don't get too low on the lows. They're temporary. Find yourself a middle ground, be comfortable in the middle ground. And as things improve, just enjoy where you are. Hope to go further, but don't get disappointed if you end up going back.
No, I think that is some sound advice. So I'm curious, as someone who grew up with a speech impediment, you know, verbally delayed as a child for years, you know, as you know, podcasting, I find there can be some difficulties with that. And you mentioned yourself that you stutter. So how do you work through that, you know, as you know, when you're live and talking to someone?
I guess you can probably can ask the people who view the show, and maybe not as well as I would hope. Because one thing that I do a lot, and it's one of the things that, you know, I think slows me down a little bit as a podcaster. I will stutter. I do try to, when I get a stutter, I've gotten pretty good at like catching it and like pausing for a second, trying to rephrase.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always work, but I usually do that. Having prepared questions helps as well. That you're reading over, so at least mentally you can form a question before you enter, so it gives you a minute to try to like make sure you get it right. I'm careful with I know which letters I'm going to start the most over, so if I have a guest who might even have that as their, you know, in their name, mm-hmm. I might use
that's
only
the
their
worst.
First, yeah, I might use that as their first name, be like, oh, it's because you should say, you know, Mr. blah blah yes. blah, but I know I started like, oh, Chuck, how's it going, you know, like, no, I'm not gonna start over Chuck. I stammer. People know I'll stammer. When I talk, I'll sometimes repeat myself. And then, you know, I have facial tics. I'm always like squeezing my eyes and my eyes are always doing something. I've been yelled at for rolling my eyes, I guess, because I do it like reflexively. Like my eyes will like roll like that because I like a little facial twitch that I do. And people are like, why are you rolling your eyes at me? I'm like, I'm not. It's I can't help it, you know. So I got yelled
at. I gotta edit that out.
Right. I got bitched at by a couple of guests most of my time, like, they said something to me and I said it, they rolled my eyes. They're like, well, I understand why you would roll your eyes. And they're like, no, I didn't roll my eyes at you. I just rolled my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just little things you just have to get comfortable with. And I will say, when I was on the other podcast, I usually only ever did audio only, which I'm a little more comfortable with than video because of my like visual takes that I do. But at some point I decided, when I did my own show, fuck it. This is me.
Yeah.
I have facial takes. I have a stutter, I have a stammer. You know what? It's my damn show. No one's going to fire me from it. It's, you know, it's Traversing the Stars and I own it. So it's not like I can be shit canned by it. So
it's like liberating, you know?
Right, right. So, you know, I'm just going to fucking do it. And if I stutter, I stutter. If I stammer, I stammer. If I facial tic during a show, it's just what it is. And people can like it or not as they like. And if they don't like it, don't subscribe. You know, don't worry about it. I will survive. I'll move on to the next guest and the next viewer, you know, next subscriber.
Like for me, pronunciations are the worst. I know before a show, I'll usually have Google pronunciation up and I'll be going over it with the pronunciation. I had one guest, his last name was Lesniewski. I might have even butchered it there, but I remember I did it 15 times before the show, got him on. And I was like, is this how you say it? He's like, yes. It's like, let's go. And I did my introduction and I'm like, we're here with. And I froze and I like looked at him. I'm like, yo, let's redo that intro real quick.
Well, you know, it happens to me all the time. I had one guest, she's a lovely lady. One of my favorite interviews from Star Trek Discovery. Her name is Oyin Alalajo. Now I went on YouTube and I listened to her prior interview to wait for someone to say her by name so I could write it down. And then I phonetically spelled it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I could learn it that way. So I wrote like, Lotta, like Lotta dash Joe. I was like, a lot of Joe, a lot of Joe. And sometimes it just helps to as well, before the show, I will ask the client, the guest, how do you say your name? And they'll usually pretty cool, like, oh, you mm-hmm. say it like this. And I go, and I'll always tell them, I go, I'll try that. If I get it wrong, I apologize. Feel free to correct me on air. And then usually they'll be like, just call me by my first name. I'm like, that's so much easier. And I'll do that. But yeah, stuttering is hard, but you know, there's probably a lot of us who stutter out there who would love to do this shit, and don't be embarrassed. Just freaking do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stutter on the air, you know what? It's your damn show.
So I'm really curious though. I know for me, I always spend a good amount of time before each show, maybe about half an hour to an hour, getting everything ready. What's your prep time usually look like? You know, you have a huge array of like all sorts of different people coming on the show. So what's that usually look like?
Well, like I said, it depends on the guest. I have, like I said, a wide range. And the important thing is, and I will tell anyone who's a podcaster, take each one seriously. Don't blow off any guest. Each guest deserves to be treated like they're the biggest star in the world for that minute. Mm-hmm. So, but it depends. Like I said, I do comic people, write novelists, actors, whatnot. And it depends. If it's a novelist, like I'm doing the guy who plays, I'm interviewing the guy who plays Quark on Deep Space Nine on November 1st, which is literally the 1 year. And he wrote a series of books. And I'm reading the books and I'll get it done and prep for the, to ask my questions. Mm-hmm. So I'm, read the whole book. I have another, I prep for another interview with another author at the same time. So I'm reading actually two books at once, trying to get them both done in time.
You're mad lad.
if a comic person, I read their comic books. Usually if it's a, if it's a long range of a big series, I'll usually read the last two issues that came out. Mm-hmm. I'll usually get the first couple as well. So I got a frame of like what I can ask. I can wing a little bit in between and kind of guess what happened, but I should read at least that much. I've interviewed David Hewlett for the TV show C. So I sit and I watch C. It's a 3-season long, but I will make sure I map it out so I can get each episode done so I can talk. So at any given time, I'm watching shows for a guest. I may watch a movie for a guest. And then when I'm done with those, I got to read the books and comic books to catch up for my next guest. It's a lot of prep. And then I usually put together questions between 10 and 13 questions you should get asked. I prep. I'll ask questions that are not prepped, mm-hmm. but I have 10 to 12 questions that I know are all set and can guide me along the podcast, along the episode. So every 30-minute interview usually comes out to about 12 to 13 questions.
So what do you do when you come across a guest who's not really talkative? I know, sometimes that can be hard. You're really scraping for answers and sometimes you get burned through those 10, 13 fast. So like, what do you do when that happens?
I get that too sometimes. And the one thing I'm trying to get better at anything in my podcast is controlling the energy of my guest. Mm-hmm. I still need to work on that. I'm still a novice at it, but the key to become a great podcast, which is I hope to be someday, I'm not right now, but I will be someday, hopefully, is to learn to control the energy of your guests. To, if they are not into it, to try to bring them up and get them excited and get them talking, get them, open up and excited. Like I said, I'm not great at doing that yet, but I'm working on it, but it happens. And when it does happen, I had some questions I can fall back on. There's a few that I ask kind of routinely. I can be like, kind of weave them in. And if they're not talkative at all, sometimes if, you keep trying, if it doesn't work, cut the interview shorter, instead of being 30 minutes, it'll be maybe 20, and that's okay. But I think what you'll find is no matter how off-putting someone seems like they are on the show, the more you ask questions about them, the more you show interest in what they actually did. And the moment they learn that you actually did the work to know who they are, they will usually relax and open up to you. You talk to a movie star and they'll be like, doing their thing. You can get their canned answer. And after a while, you ask us a question about specifically about the movie, be like, oh, so I noticed in this scene, this happened. So what was your thought process in performing that scene? Like, you see them pop open, like, oh, okay, this guy actually did pay mm-hmm. attention. And they'll start talking. And once they get into it, you start the next question. You get comfortable with it. And the reason you prepare for every damn interview is when you get those guys who don't want to talk, you have a long list of things you can talk about because you actually did the research, you watched the damn show or movie or read the damn book. And that gives you a lot of opportunities to go, oh, about 20 minutes into the movie, blah, blah, blah happened. So can you walk me through that? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, but they'll get all into it. And then you can relax, they'll relax, and things can start flowing.
So what's it look like to be a master podcaster? Do you get like a golden microphone? Like,
I would love to know what that looks like. Like I said, in my opinion, I've been doing this for a few years now. I still consider myself a novice. I'm still, a rookie. I make rookie mistakes. I still at times, as people can hear talking to me right now, you'll hear my stammers and my ums and my likes. And I usually say, I mean, and I'll say, I use those all the time. I don't know what it's going to look like to be a master podcaster, but when I get there, I'll share my secrets. I'll let you know what that looks like. But at the moment where I'm sitting, it just looks like it's a lot of work. The worst thing about my job as a podcaster is editing and watching myself on air, and that kills me. Like I literally feel like I'm gutting myself as I watch. I'm like, oh, why did I? Ooh, that sounds bad. You know, I'm just like, son of a bitch.
Man, if it makes you feel better, I was talking to Ron Mars, and I made a refrigerator joke, and like they all were like, ah, you love hearing that one, don't you? And I'm like, yep. Not gonna make that joke ever again. Like, it's like, you know, how do you recover from that? You just keep chugging forward and pushing forward. You know, so I'm curious though, what do you feel like are some of the do's and don'ts with podcasting? I know, and you know, the ums and the likes, that's such a hard thing to break, but like,
yeah,
outside of that, you know, obviously we want to make sure we're prepped and everything, but some of the big ones, like for instance, like my biggest thing is whenever you're interviewing someone, you shut up, you know, you let them talk, you back away.
Yeah.
You know, you give them what, like 75-80% of the floor, you take the 20-25. So for you, what are some of your golden like rules, your do's and don'ts?
You know, I think that's a perfect one right there. And the one thing I would tell any podcaster, and I'm trying to get, and I got to get better at it myself as well. Decide immediately before you start podcasting, who's the star of your show? Is it you or is it your guest? If it's you and you're making it about yourself, then you know what? Don't have a guest. Do your own thing. You're not, you know, if you want to have a guest on your show, then you are not the star. They are. No matter how big or how small that guest is, they're the star of your show. You make sure they look as good as possible. And as you said, shut the fuck up. You know? Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to not jump in, because, you know, but you have a good question to ask. And sometimes guests will they'll talk and they'll start rambling on, and they'll kind of like start getting off the topic you wanted to stay on, and you're gonna be like, in your head you're just like, I want to ask that question, so you start popping in with the question, they're like, you just hear them keep talking, you're like, oh shit, okay, shut up, try again. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, so I would say the first rule, shut up, you're not the star, they are. If the more you like them be the star, the more you become the star yourself, because people are watching your show. Mm-hmm. So you just become it eventually, but you're not the star. Always do your research, try to limit mistakes, try to maintain your energy, try to make pretend each guest is someone who you absolutely love talking to. They're all people that you're like, I want to talk to you, you know, I've been waiting, I'm a big fan of yours. Sometimes you're not, sometimes you don't know, you know who the guy is. Mm-hmm. But you're a fan for the moment you're on your podcast, you're a fan. When it's over, you can go back to not caring who the person was, but while they're on your show, you're a fan. The comic book is great. The novel was well written, and mm-hmm. the movie they were in was fucking awesome. You know, that's, you know, the rule. Don'ts, I mean, some of the basic don'ts would be, try not to cut the person off too much. Try to, you know, follow up on questions that you're listening. Try not to pay more attention to the questions you have than the questions that are opening to you on screen. Because sometimes you'll realize what the person's saying to you is where he wants to go. And when you realize they're taking you in the direction that they want to go in, maybe you need to drop your questions and focus on them. Because sometimes I'll be like, I'll get a guest, I'll be like, oh, I love you, the cartoon that they were in, or something, the movie they were in, and I want to talk about that. I'm like, yeah, I want to talk about that. And they'll take you in another direction because they don't want to, because they probably had to ask 1,000 times about that mm-hmm. stupid show. And they're tired of answering the same damn questions. So,
yeah.
Go with them. So, and sometimes you got to throw away the questions you really like, and that's just kind of how it goes. And you're just like, in your head, you're just like, damn it.
You know? That's like the perfect segue for me though. I was about to ask you, like, what do you do to make sure you're not asking those same questions that are repeated, you know, coming with guests that have probably been on hundreds, if not thousands of podcasts, like, what are you doing to make sure your questions are like the freshest?
I think that comes down to the research, and the deeper the dive, the less likely it's going to be asked. I try to ask questions that are specific to what they're doing. I try to get out of the, how's it feel to be, I don't know, how to be Optimus Prime, the voice of Optimus Prime. Is that cool? Yes, I'm sure it is cool. Why are you asking that question? You know, you wouldn't be like, no, that's not cool. Of course they're going to ask the damn question. So think a little harder. When I think about my question, I try to think of things that are specific to what they're doing. Once again, I'm going to interview the guy who plays Quark in Deep Space Nine coming up. I've interviewed once before. And I'm going to ask one or two questions about Star Trek Lower Decks, because I know that's where the views are in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. But he's a novelist. I know he wants to talk about the novel. That's what he wants to focus on. So I've read the novel, and I'm preparing my questions in my head. I'm trying to think of what is interesting about this book that I can ask about the book. And that's how you know you're going to be asking a question not everyone's going to ask. Everyone's going to be asking no more questions. How does it play to feel to be Quark? Oh, it's cool. Good. Do you like having all that stuff on your head? No. Okay. Did you want to play more Quark? Okay. I mean, you asked them about the book. They're like, okay, so here's a great line in your book. On page 45, you said this. What do you mean by that? You know, what do you think the character, how did that demonstrate the character? And you know, most people are not doing the research. I'm not going to ask that question. That's mm-hmm. where you dive in. And, you know, and I try to ask more of those questions than the other questions, which are, isn't it cool to be in that TV show? Which I try not to do. Still get a few times because you know, sometimes you need to stretch a little bit. So I'll ask some of those just to stretch if I don't know the guest very well. But like I said, try your best to think about the project. And the more you think specifically about it, the more likely you are to not repeat a question.
And, you know, I'm just amazed at the amount of dedication you have to that. I mean, it's important to always read the material, but when you're juggling like two novels, like how do you have time for anything else, man?
luckily I read pretty fast, and I've gotten really good at organizing myself. Mm-hmm. So I know I can read, I'll read 10 pages a day. So I try to do the math to do 10 pages a day of one book. And so if I do two books, it's two 10 pages a day. So I know I can read 10 pages in about 10 minutes. So I sit down with the book. I have my pen to make notes. I do my 10 pages. Then I hit the next book. And then I do the math in my head. All right. So it's going to take me 45 minutes to do this interview. Probably it'll take me an hour and a half to the editing. Now I need to prep. The prep is going to be about an hour. So now I can have this much time on that day. If I can't hit it, next day I know to give myself a lighter day. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do it that way. I read three episodes a week. So the other days where I'm not doing the editing for the next episode, I know it's a better day to do some extra reading. And I just try to map it out in my head. How long is it going to take to do this? How long is it going to take to read this guy's comic book? I try to avoid now graphic novels because I've realized that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
to read. But, you know, it's kind of one of the things. Just map yourself, your schedule. Every day I put a to-do list of things I need to do. And then I mentally map out the time it takes to do it. And then I hopefully can get it done before my wife gets home. And that's, you know, that's the goal.
So with this being your 1 year celebration, I got to ask the question that's probably the most boring question of the podcast. Give us a little bit about the name itself, Traversing the Stars. You know, it seems like that's what you're doing, right? Is going from one star to another.
Yeah, that's kind of where the idea came from. I must admit, when I quit the other podcast, the hardest thing to do was actually create a name. So many of them are taken. I literally had to go on Apple. I think I went on Apple iTunes or not. Well, what do they call it? The podcast on Apple Podcast, what they call it. And I kept putting in names to see which ones were taken. I had so many good names I wanted. I was like, I had like in my head, I'm like kicking around the idea, like, that's my name. That's the name it's going to be. And then I'm texting it and be like, I'm searching on Google, I'm searching on Apple, searching on Spotify, saying one took it. And they all were taken. I was like, okay, what am I actually doing? So I'm dealing with stars. I'm stars traversing the stars. And I thought to myself, that's a cool name because it's like I'm going from, like you said, star to star. So I was like, that's a really great name. And I tried to sell it to my wife, and she was like, that's a good name. And I sold it to the person I was going to work with, and you know, they were into it. And yeah, you know, it kind of stuck in my head. And I thank God it wasn't taken from anybody. I got to keep the name for myself, as far as I can tell. And it's been a name that it feels like it has made more sense to the show than I thought it would when I first got. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I was like, traversing the stars, it's, you know, there's a certain lameness to it. Then I just kept doing it and talking to the stars, like, fuck it, I am traversing the goddamn stars, you know? And I got my background with my stars of like, you know, that's, yeah. And it sold on me, but yeah, it's a hard, coming up with a new name is hard. There's so many out there that I wanted. I think the name I was for a little while, I was going to go with a name of Fortune Inc. I was going to be a Fortune Inc. comic books, writing, that's all ink. Mm-hmm. And I got it, and I was like pushing it. I was about to do some shows on it, and I went on to Instagram, and I was like, I'm building my Fortune Inc. And I was like, your title's taken. I was like, wait. And I looked, I was like, son of a bitch, some tattoo shop had it. So I was like, okay, that one's out. I'm going to go with another one. But
that is awesome.
it's hard coming up with something fresh. You know, you don't want to come up with anything corny. And eventually I got the one I wanted, and it's cool. It's cool having your own show. I mean, like I said, the best thing about the show is that it's yours and there's no one to bitch to but yourself.
So with 1 year down, what's the next year looking like for you? I mean, how many interviews have you done to date, would you say, in your one year with Traversing the Stars?
According to TubeBuddy, I am at 169.
Oh, nice.
That is, yes, I'm about to get my 175 milestone will be in 2 weeks. I, like I said, really 3 to 4 a week, sometimes more. Next year, God, I'm hoping for bigger. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the one of my primary flaws is that I'm never satisfied ever, like at all. Like, no matter how big the interview is, I'm just, or how many views it gets, or how many views I had in a month, I'm just like, okay. I mean, for a day, I'm happy. And then the next time, I'm just like, I need more.
Gotta do better. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta do better. This is, you know, what am I doing only with that number? It should be bigger this month, right? And I get hungrier and hungrier about it. And hopefully next year, my goal is bigger. My goal for the end of next year, I want to get to 700 subscribers. I want my view count to increase again. I'm looking to, you know, break my records. And I want my guest list to become even better. You know, I want to make sure, you know, the average guest level to be higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And November's looking pretty good. I got some cool guests coming up. Like I said, some, you know, people from Star Trek, people from Werewolf by Night is going to show up on my show. I got some other cool guests coming up. And I'm just hoping to make them bigger and better. And that's my goal. I mean, I hope I don't get burned out.
What are you doing to make sure you don't, though? Like, what are you doing to make sure that you're giving yourself enough time to breathe and just enjoy life outside of podcasting?
That's a good question. When I accomplish it, I'll let you know. Basically, it's a hard question because I'm not as good as I would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
My goal every month is I want 12 interviews a month to do. So I release usually about 12 a month. I want to try to build in a break. So I know towards the end of the month, I know I've hit my number. I try to slow down a little bit. Sometimes I'm successful at it. So I have about 4 or 5 days where I don't do any interviews, try to get some breathing in there. I try to basically it's sort of like anything. You gotta be self-motivated, right?
Yeah.
And when you do feel yourself burning out, you know, try to take a small breather and then jump back in. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone gets to that point where they're just a little bit just like tired and just like, you know, and you know, I'll get there every so often. I've had some days where I've come home and I have an interview that night. I'm just from work. I'm just like, oh man, I don't feel like interviewing anyone today, you know? And mm-hmm. maybe that's when I think to myself, stop scheduling for a little while, try to build up your, you know, your energy again and jump back in. But at the same time, it's the next guest that gets you excited too. Sometimes you're just like, yeah. you got to get this interview to the next one. Just get excited, you know, do the interview. Even if you're not into it, just try to feel into it.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, next week you got like next week I have Emily Swallow, who's the Mandalorian chieftain from the one with the who you know the woman who's like the chief armorer.
Okay.
One, yeah. So she's on it. She's pretty cool from Mandalorian. So I'm pretty excited about that one. So you know you get through the days you don't feel excited, you jump into the excited ones. You're like, this mm-hmm. one's coming up. I'm ready for it. I'm gonna do it. And then you when it goes well, you build yourself up for a few more days. When the guest tells you off air that he really likes your interview style, that gets you going for at least another couple of days.
That's the best feeling in the world. Yeah. Oh my God. It's like, oh, thank you. But on the inside, you're like, tell me more. Keep going with that, please.
Yeah, yeah. Make it about me now, God damn it. Because I will say, podcasting in many ways, I think, is lonely. You know what I'm saying? It's a lonely mm-hmm. thing when it's your own show. And there's a lot of positive about being your own show. The negative is that it's a lonely, lonely feeling because it's just you pushing the show. It's just you feeling positive about it. When you do something well, it's only you congratulating yourself. You know? It's just like, yay, I did well, you know, but you kind of look around and no one's saying it to you. So you're just, it's a lonely job. So you got to find those moments. When I have a guest who's like, you're really good at this, I'm like, yes, I am. Yeah, you know, you feel that
you don't say.
Right. Tell me more. As you said, tell me more. And you guess you're going for another few days and you a little hop in your step. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get back, knocked down back to earth when you see, yeah, I've got a couple. This one, worst thing to do. I have you know, on YouTube, you read your comments, and I had like one person like gave me a real shit comment, like a really shitty one. And I was just like, delete. And then and then you're like, well, keep in mind though, that guest yesterday said I focus, so that keeps me going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's find that it's the little things that matter when you're a podcaster, I think.
Yeah, and man, it's, you were saying earlier, and I think it's funny too. The having, you know, the inability to be satisfied, you just want to keep going. And I think that's why, you know, we were talking backstage too, how, you know, some of the other podcasters probably fell off because they didn't want to, you know, keep going. Yeah. Cause it's that motivation in itself during those hard days that keeps you going. Like you're like in a, you're in your dip and you're like, well, I don't want to be in this dip. I'm going to work my way out of it. And I think that's where you break apart from the rest of the pack. Man, this is so awesome. So Jeff, let's finish off on a strong note. For your 1 year anniversary, for anyone out there who is wanting to get into podcasting, what advice would you offer them to kind of help them start off on like a strong note?
Don't do it. No, just kidding. Find another hobby. Make friends.
You're going to lose all your social time.
Right. Make friends, find a hobby for yourself. The best thing to start on a strong foot is, just be measured. Your guests are not going to start off with, Thomas Jane. He's not coming on your show with no subscribers or your 5 subscribers. He doesn't give a shit. Start off with who you can get, treat them like the stars that they are. And usually they're going to be indie people. They're going to be like indie comic book people. They're going to be maybe the 20th name in a movie you never heard of, but do it and just try to build yourself from that. It's hard. Don't think of success immediately. It's not going to happen. Don't look for positive reinforcement. Often this may not exist. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, keep in mind what your goals are immediately. Because it's going to be a hard ride. Creating the Person of Stars was helpful because I started in another podcast, so I already knew publicists, already knew certain actors. I could get them back, get them on the show, and be like, "Hey, you know me, come back." Starting from scratch is hard. So get who you can get, and as you get that guest, you tell the next guest, "Hey, I've had this guy and this guy on my show." Then you get your next one. You try to build up that way, and be prepared for failure. Podcasting is probably a lot like baseball. If you're batting 300, you're a superstar. I mean, you're going to fail way more than you succeed. But don't try to do it to become famous. It's the odds are against you. Do it. Yeah, do it for fun and do your best. I mean, just try to find joy in what you're doing. And if you can find joy, at least find satisfaction, which is a little bit different than, in my opinion, than joy. At least that's, or contentment, let's say, which is different than joy. Yeah.
No, and I think that is all really sound advice. The biggest thing you could do is just do it to have fun. Do it because you want to do it, you know. Yep. And I think doing it without the expectations is gonna help you keep afloat when the hard times come, because you know, like you said, you don't bat 300 every time. You gotta basically earn your keep to get that rank. And you know, you gotta take it to the chin. You gotta take every downfall to the chin and get back up. Jeff, this has been an awesome time, man. Congratulations. We hit 1 year anniversary for Transversing the Stars. Let's go. Everyone, this is Cody with Keeping It Geekly, and this has been an awesome time with Jeff.
Thank you.
Why don't you go ahead and finish us off?
All right. I just want to thank everyone for coming to the Transversing the Stars podcast. And guys, next, we have another year. Let's go for year 2. So like and subscribe, and then contact Cody from Keeping It Geekly and like and subscribe there. He's awesome. And let's, you know what? Let's build a community, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And most importantly, guys. No joke.